Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight and open up to Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. As you find your place here, Matthew chapter number 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Matthew chapter number 5, and for those of you who are visiting with us, this is part, I think, around 13 of a series now. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount, and just going through kind of verse by verse, looking at this passage of Scripture, and truly it is action-packed, and boy, it's just so applicable for you and I. For time's sake tonight, we're going to divide up the next couple of Scriptures just a little bit over the next several weeks so we can dive into it a little bit more, and appreciate already, I just want to say this ahead of time, for your help and getting the building ready for this week. We're excited about getting all the vents cleaned out throughout the entire building. This has been needed to be done for some time, and boy, it's just really going to make just the air filtration and the air that we're breathing and our kids are breathing throughout the week, it's really going to help there. And getting all the carpets clean, just going to look really fresh as we begin to head into this new year. But I will say this, it takes a lot of work, and a lot of hands make light work. And so right after this evening service, if we could, let's just gather together. If you want to fellowship and you can't carry a chair, no problem. Head out into the coffee shop area and fellowship out there, and we'll grab these chairs. We'll get them taken down in no time at all. Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to break this up. We're going to read it just to kind of get the context this evening. We're going to look at verse number 14 tonight. Verse number 14 of Matthew chapter number 5. Would you please follow along as I read? The Bible says this: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This evening I want to preach a message kind of tagging off of last week's message of salt and light. Salt and light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, so much that you came. Thank you, Father, that you were born in a manger. Savior, we're so thankful, Lord, for this season. And Lord, once again, you moving and working in our midst. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you do it once again tonight. Lord, what an incredible time we had this morning, just the Spirit in here. And Lord, you just constantly at work on our hearts. And Lord, the visitors that we had, those that have been coming back, and those today that promised to be back. And Lord, it's just amazing, God, what you're doing. And we give you all the honor and the glory. Father, what does it mean to be light? Father, if we were sitting here, Lord, at your feet as these 12 men were, what is it that you were wanting to say to them? And Father, how can we apply it to our life? Lord, we understand the twofold application here. And Father, it's no doubt that for us living in this society, in this culture, there's something for us here. So Lord, help us to get that. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. We love you, Father. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we've just come through now the Beatitudes. We begin to head into this first passage of Scripture, and Christ begins to say that there is two things that we're going to be called here. And we come through these Beatitudes, and now he begins to give a description of you and I. He calls us both salt and light. Now, comprehend this evening, we broke down and began to look at salt and really kind of that substance of how it really is used in a great way. And you and I being called salt, it is no doubt that there's great application there. But then we head right into light, and we would almost say this as the next three verses are given for this description. We would almost say, okay, we've covered so much in salt, what really would be left in light? We looked at so much in just the subject of salt that is it really, do we really almost need this double whammy of being called both salt and light? Well, comprehend that both of these substances are very valuable and they're both very useful. However, comprehend that they're both vastly different in the way that they approach their respective functions. Now, listen very carefully and watch. Comprehend tonight that, for instance, salt is hidden, but light is obvious. Salt works secretly while light works openly. Salt works from within and light from without. Salt speaks of the indirect influence of the gospel, while light pictures its direct communication. Salt, if you think about it, as we saw last week, is largely or perhaps mostly negative. It can retard corruption, but it cannot change corruption into incorruption. Light is more positive. It not only reveals what is wrong and false, but helps produce what is righteous and true. We saw what salt is. Now let's concentrate on the next couple of moments on light. Now, think about light for just a moment. And there's no doubt that there are men in this room. I even thought about calling Brother Mancroni up and kind of tell us a little bit about light and what it does and its functions and any of our other science teachers in here. There's no doubt you could do a fantastic job and would probably get very excited over what light is. But if we gave just a simple definition, okay? So I'm going to open up the dictionary and here's what I'm going to read. Brother Mancroni, a simple definition of what light is. You ready for this? It is something, and I quote, that makes vision possible. A sensation aroused by stimulation of the visual receptors. An electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays. And traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles per second. Specifically, the part of this range that is visible to the human eye. Now, did everybody get that? You got your notes this evening. Didn't that make perfect sense? I mean, not really. I mean, thank you, Mr. Webster. But to be honest with you, when we think about light, it truly is a miracle. When you think about light and what it does, it's miraculous. It's incredible. By the way, the redeemed child of God is a miracle as well. You see, both salt and light have their ability to alter the world. And you and I, living the gospel, you and I can also alter the world. Perhaps that is why Jesus used these common everyday images for you and for me to describe his people and the influence that you and I can have. We understand about the disciples that the Bible says they turned the world upside down. And the God that they served then that allowed them and helped them and influenced their life to turn the world upside down is the same God that you and I worship today. Aren't you thankful that God is alive? Amen. So as we look at the light, I want us to just one point. Now just hold on, don't get too excited. But one point this evening, here's what I want us to concentrate on for the next couple of moments is this. Light's power. The power that light has. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse number 14. It says this. Ye are the light of the world. Now watch. While it does not have physical properties, it can have a profound effect on physical objects. Let's look at the way for a moment that light affects the world. You see, if we begin to look at the power that light has, we will comprehend very quickly that light defeats darkness. You see, wherever there is the least little bit of light, darkness is forced to flee. You can be in the most dark place. I mean, there is no light at all. You can't see, as many would say, your hand in front of your face. And maybe many of you in this room have been in a circumstance like that before where it is very dark. But you bring in just the tiniest amount of light and it begins to defeat that darkness. It was just several nights ago, I was playing with my twins, Nora and Rose, and we're getting them in the bed, and I turn off all their lights, and we've got those blackout shades, and so we shut the blackout shades. And I'm telling you what, if you don't have blackout shades, you have not lived, friend. You got to get them. They're incredible. It blocks out everything, so your kids on Christmas break can sleep all day long. It's amazing. It's wonderful. That melatonin, I'm telling you, we've discovered some cool things here lately. But nonetheless, I begin to play them. Blackout shades, it's totally dark in the room. and I turn the light off, and I begin to chase them. I chase them around, and they're screaming. I turn on the light, and I turn it off, and I'd be over here. But I caught on. I couldn't see anything. I'm telling you, I'm tripping. I'm getting bruises all over my shins from hitting stuff. I couldn't see a thing, but my twins, they could see me. And finally, I turned it on, and I'm like, Rose, how do you see me? How do you know where I am? Because I'm telling you, Coach, honestly, I couldn't see anything. She's dying laughing. She's cracking up. She said, we can see your watch. And my dumb little watch, as I'm doing this, I put like a fool in there. Like, ooh, you know, here I am. And they're following my stinking watch. I'm about to get rid of this thing. Siri's about to get on my nerves. Nonetheless, it was just the little bit of infrared light that's under here that they were able to follow, comprehend. If we look at light in a dark place, defeating it, comprehend the same is true in the spiritual realm. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In verse number 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of God's word will help you and I to see the darkness in this world. You see, I'm afraid so often, so many times, we try to have this massive, let me think of it, this definition and this defining of what sin is. And oftentimes we use this, is this wrong, and is this wrong, and is this wrong, and is this wrong. And I heard a quote one time that said, we need a bigger estimation of God and a smaller estimation of sin. Why? Because the more that you and I draw close to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more that you and I are in the very Word of God, the more the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the darkness of this world. You see, so many times we live this Christianity of lists and can I do this and can I do this and can I do this and can I not do this and can I watch this and can I not watch this? Can I listen to this and can I not listen to this and can I wear this and can I not wear this? And it's almost like we've come up with this Bible college rule book, for those of you in Bible college, you know what I'm talking about, of all the list of do's and don'ts, and ooh, this is what we've got to live by. When honestly, truly, if you and I would just get close to the very Word of God, this Bible will begin to reveal to you and I what is light and what is good and what is holy and what is pure and those things that are evil and dark and the things that you and I ought to abstain from. Friend, you can read this book 100 times and you're not going to find words like Budweiser and cigarettes and Hollywood. You're not going to find it in there, but you know what you are going to find? Holiness and righteousness and purity. And the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Well, how do we know how to do that? Draw close to the Word of God. Why? Because this Bible will reveal what is good and what is wrong. And then when you are saved and I are saved, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in our hearts and our lives. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Listen very carefully. Watch this. Just because someone says, well, I know maybe to you it's a sin, but to me it's not sin. And the Holy Spirit has never convicted me. I know the Bible says it, but the Holy Spirit's never convicted me. Listen and listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will never go contrary to each other. If you believe that, say amen. They're one of the same. If this Bible says it, friend, it's not archaic and old and well, it changes, though. This Word never changes. You and I can go to it, and you and I can get this, that you and I can draw close to God and be able to comprehend that. Watch now, light defeats darkness. But you know, light also colors a dullness in this world. It does. Jesus said that his people, watch now, were the light of the world. Not only should our presence put darkness to flight, but it should also cause the world to be a more colorful place, a more beautiful place. There is nothing like meeting a Christian who is reflecting all the light of our Savior. That person is a ray of light in a dark place. That person has a thing of beauty in a blah world. This is why the Bible teaches us that a Christian, that a believer ought to be, Philippians 1:27. Watch now. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, And whether I come unto see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It is color to this world. It's comprehending that a Christian that has the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of them, they're shining this light, and the world looks at that light, and they begin to comprehend what real joy is, and what real happiness is, and what real peace is. And they begin to look at a life, watch now, a life that is worth living. And I said this morning, and now this is more of a home crowd tonight, but did it not surprise you this morning at the overwhelming numbers of those who are taking prescription drugs and dying from them? Now, I don't know about you, but because I have, as a pastor, lived in this realm of COVID-19 over the last 2 years, I feel like that's all we talk about. And it's almost like our mind has completely shifted towards, we're just looking at a new variant, we're looking at this, and we've almost totally forgotten about, you ready for this? The lost world. And they're looking and they're searching. And they're dying in numbers that nobody's even talking about. When that world, lost world, looks at us and our marriages and our kids and our joy and our social media, you know that it ought to give them color in this very dark world. They ought to want it. They ought to desire what you and I have. Comprehend this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and lives inside of our hearts and our life, it's not just that, well, okay, we get a ticket to heaven and we're going to live with him one day and we get out of that, get out of hell free card. No, it's so much more than that. The moment that you and I are saved is the moment we really start living this life down here on this earth. It's a lost world. They may look like they're yupping it up and they're having a great time, but I'm here to tell you, they're in search of something. It's why they're constantly drunk. It's why they're constantly this. It's constantly immorality. It's constantly pornography. And it's constant. Why? They're searching. I got to have happiness. I'm looking for it. Look, they can search the world over. And friend, they'll never find it outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life that you and I live, the disciples, here he is, Christ. He sits down and he says, you know what? You're salt. But you're more than that. You're light. You're going to conquer. You're going to look different. Your light is going to shine. It's going to give people a desire to be who you are. It colors this dullness, but also light changes unresponsiveness, the deadness. Think about this for a moment. We know that spring breaks forth because God has designed it in nature to do so. As the earth moves closer in its orbit to the sun, the light that reaches our planet is able to bring life out of deadness. On a much smaller scale, if you and I begin to think even right here, a dying plant often can be rejuvenated by exposing it to the warm, life-giving rays of the sun. Brother Mancroni, I'm not sure, is it 8 minutes that a ray of light leaves the sun, and it's about 8 minutes later it hits here. Good enough, you know. Scientists guess 1 or 2 billion years we could do the same, okay? So I think it's about 8 minutes that comprehend as that ray of light leaves the sun, and it travels at the speed of light, and 8 minutes later, watch this, it's able to hit something that to us looks dead, and it begins to hit that grass, and it begins to hit that plant, and it begins to hit that tree, and by exposing it to the sun, it begins to give it light. As we let our light shine in a dark and dead world, the same phenomena begins to take place. You see, God uses the light of our witness and our testimony to warm the dead sinner's heart and to draw them to Jesus for salvation. How many times, friend, have we seen it over and over and over again where God uses our light, he uses our testimony, and he begins to touch other people's life? We're not there yet, but that's why in verse number 16 it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You and I, we have a testimony. You and I have got a testimony. Does that testimony draw people to the light of the world, or does it push them away? You see, I've heard of, and Pastor Foe and Pastor Fitzgerald, so many others, Pastor Chris, I know you've heard of those who have been saved. And it's not that we knocked on our door. It's maybe not even that we gave them a track. And remember, Leroy, how many times have we seen just being around that person, they begin to see what we are. And that light that's living through us begins to expose them to what? Life. It begins to expose them to Jesus. And all of a sudden they begin to feel that warmth and those walls that they've built up in their cold heart, the light that you and I are shining, it begins to break them down. That cold heart of, I'll never be in church, I'll never go, I'll never sing a hymn, I'll never go to a place, I was hurt, I'll bitterness, and all this cold heart, all of a sudden just being around somebody begins to melt that. And eventually what could take place is that person could get saved. I want to encourage this church tonight, listen very carefully. The way, Brother Titus, that we used to witness is drastically changing. We live in a world that, it's not a very friendly world that we live in right now. Get on social media for 5 minutes and you'll see. Just post a political statement. I'm here to tell you, everybody out there is going to come attack. And it's unbelievable. Last year, I remember somebody posted something about masks. And I'm telling you, those people, this was in California. There's people jumping all over, Christians fighting with Christians. I mean, I have people I never heard of, like, good. Now, I mean, just, because I just, it was awful. You know, that's the world we live in. People are mean. There used to be a day and age, honestly, Brother Bruce, you remember where even Republicans and Democrats would reach across the aisle and they work together for the betterment of the American people. We don't live in that world anymore. It's like, we've drawn lines, you're over here, you're over here. Even if you don't agree with what we're signing, Democrats, you do your job, Republicans, you do your job. It's a mess in the world that we're in. And I'm going to encourage you tonight that you may be around people at your work and they have a different political view. You may be around people that hate church. They can't stay. They got hurt by some Baptist deacon back in 1985. And they're against everything and everybody. And you may have to work every day with that person. Let me encourage you. You may have to work with somebody, I'm sure, Brother Eric, often in your realm that's got a foul mouth and just filthy. And you're in that world every single day. You just keep shining your light. You just let it keep shining. You just keep doing what God called you to do. And what's that? Be a Christian that shines the light. Ms. Noel, I know you fly probably just about every week. I can't imagine. Each and every week, you're with different people. And right now, I don't know if anybody's flown lately, but man, Pastor Chris, you flew a little while ago. It's kind of rude right now. It's a rude dog-eat-dog world out there. I don't know if y'all have seen the YouTube videos, but it's getting crazy. Like, everybody's fighting. It's really entertaining at times. But nonetheless, it's the world that you and I live in. So what are we going to do? Get in our little bubble. Don't ever get out. Don't ever talk to anybody. We'll just be who we are. You know, no social media, no news, no nothing. We'll get our groceries. We'll get our cart. We'll get right back home. We'll pack it all in and shut the doors, lock it up, get our shotguns. And man, we're good. We're good to go until the Lord comes back. No. We're looking for a blessed hope. And God's going to come back one day. But he commissioned you and I to go into all the world and to spread his gospel. Why? Because he's light and he's shining through you and he's shining through me. And you and I have got to live a life because, let me just put it this way. Maybe at some point you've worked with somebody before and man, they're cold to the gospel. They don't want anything to Jesus. You're a weirdo and don't talk to me. And you work with that person every day. And I guarantee you, some of you have gone to that person has gone through a difficulty in their life. And you know who they're always looking for? The Christian. They'll lose a mom and a dad, and all of a sudden, you know who they're looking for? Where's that Fitzgerald guy? It's always up at the YMCA, and he's always telling me about Jesus. Oh, there he is. There's you, Pastor, I know we don't talk a whole lot, but you've talked about Jesus. I'm going through a tough time right now. My child's got COVID, or we lost somebody. How many times have we seen it? Let me tell you something. Watch now. It's just by you and I simply living our life for God and letting it shine. is a day and age, and this is, you know, brings us all the way, circles all the way back around. It's a day and age, we really don't live in a day and age where people want us on their doors and we're knocking and we're giving the gospel. And I mean, I can't imagine, Pastor Phil, how many years has it been since somebody actually won somebody to the Lord on their front porch? It's just, it's a different day and age we live in. So do we just give up? No. The gift, the packaging may look a little bit different, but the free gift of salvation on the inside is still the same, friend. And it's you and I living it. Why? Because you and I have it. We know what it is. It's that life. It light changes unresponsiveness. But watch this. Light also conditions cheerlessness. It conditions it. What do you mean? It changes it. In Indianapolis, how many times have we seen days of gloomy and dreary weather? It seems like, man, it's February, and I've said it before, I'm not a big fan of February, but nonetheless, don't laugh at me. You know, you can't even spell it right, okay? And so it's just, we're 28 days, it's the only one. I'm just not a big February fan. If you're born in that month, I apologize. Not really, but still, it's dreary, and it's gloomy, and oh, it's so long. But suddenly, replaced this gloomy, rainy slash slush slash, is it going to ice? Is it, what's it doing? Is it going to snow? We're going to get a foot. No, we only got an inch. We're supposed to get an inch. Oh my word, we got a foot. And it's back and forth, this weird, crazy, gloomy weather. And all of a sudden, those dreary days are immediately transformed by the appearance of sunlight. And moods begin to change. It feels good again to breathe and, wow, this is so beautiful. Sometimes the ice glistens on the trees. Why? By that sunlight that's hitting it. The world that you and I live in can be a dreary place. And I'm not referring to the weather, but on a spiritual climate. We're in an awful mess. However dark and dreary the day may be, when you and I are exposed to the light of the people of God, our day is instantly brightened. Paul said it, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. Do you hear that? He longed for them. He loved them. He said, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Listen how he puts this, my dearly beloved. You and I come in a place like this. And I love it that we could be having a bad day. Man, we're heading into the weekend. We can get around folks like, I don't know about you, but man, it was just, the energy was so incredible this morning. I don't know, the hallelujah chorus, I'm telling you what, can we not just sing that every week? It was unbelievable, just great. Pastor Chris, I know you're like, no, I'm moving, see you later. But it really was incredible. Amen, was it not awesome? And man, the energy in here was just fantastic. And after the service, I'm just talking to people and, I don't know if it's just this time of year, and the weather was pretty cool today. It wasn't too cold, and man, the hallelujah chorus, and we're hanging around people. And all of a sudden, you just start getting this vibe, can I put it this way, of being encouraged. You know, outside of these walls, it's dark and it's dreary. The United States is not the United States that our grandparents remember. It's changing. And the racism and the bullies and the craziness that's out there, it's so incredible to come in and get around God's people and just be refreshed and encouraged. Friend, you and I may not agree on everything. I know we don't agree on everything. That's okay. We have different preferences. We got all kinds of different, you know, standards. We got different sports teams. It's just crazy. We got different backgrounds, different families. We're different. But you know what we have in common? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's people in this room that have had a tough year, a tough day. And we can come in and be an encouragement to somebody just by having a smile on our face, an encouraging word to say. Be a prayer warrior for each other and each other's families. Young people, look up here. Now watch, all the young people, once you look up here, from Parker's age all the way up to even our college students that just came home. Can I talk to you just for a moment, and we're going to be done? Be encouraging to those around you. London, for you and your age and Mimi, be an encouragement. Be a blessing to those that are in school. You know, not everybody has it as well as you do. Some of them don't have moms and some of them don't have dads. Some of them don't go home with a dad that opens up the Word of God and has devotions. Some of them have to go home to a mom and dad that cuss and drink and smoke and maybe even abuse them. And the only light that they get to have is when they sit with you at school. Be kind. Be gentle. Love each other. Friend, as we've moved here, can I just tell you this? We don't have a lot of family that lives in this area. I'm thankful for Katie and Jeff that moved here, but my parents don't live here. Carrie's parents live 2 hours away, and we don't have a lot of family. I have 7 sisters. We're spread out all over the United States. Can I just tell you this? You are our family, and we're yours. We have the family of God that we can shine that light. We can be that light to each other, an encouragement to each other, a help, and a person that's going to be there in a time of need, a time when somebody's crying and a down day. That light that reflects through you and I, can I just put it this way? Yes, it's going to conquer darkness, and yes, it's going to color the dreariness, but you know, it really ought to be a light to each other, an encouragement to each other. I said it 2 weeks ago. I just want to say it again. You know, as a pastor that you think is young, but I'm actually approaching 40, so I'm kind of getting up there at age nonetheless. And don't laugh. I'm growing up on you. Can I just say this? There have been men in my life, like Pastor Defoe, that they may never know until we get to heaven what an incredible encouragement they've been on my life. Men like Pastor Defoe that I make mistakes and I'm human and I'm not always on top of it. You know, there have been men that have come behind me and they may not even know, but they've been that light that I needed in my life. I said, Pastor, it's going to be okay. Pastor, we're going to get through. Yeah, but it hurts. Yeah, but you understand. Yeah, but no, I do. You're going to be fine. You just put your hand to the plow. You just keep going. You know, sometimes that's what we need to do and be for each other. It's not looking at Brother Matt Yeider. It's not looking at Brother Yeider and, oh, Brother Yeider, I just want to tell you, friend, I know your kids, you know, Ty's being a little rebellious here lately. And, you know, here's what you need to change up and here's what you need to do different. You know, that's sometimes not what Matt and Susan needs. You know, sometimes they just need somebody to come and, you know what, we've been where you've been. And I just want to tell you, we're praying for you and we love you. Just keep coming to church. Just keep being a tech. Your kids are going to turn out great. You know what? Honestly, Matt, Susan, sometimes it's what the shepherds need. Just an encouragement. Hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. God's going to be there with you. You know, at times I think we almost take it as our responsibility that we're this big sheriff in everybody's life. And, well, we got to just tell everybody what they're doing wrong. Can I just tell you, God didn't save us to be the sheriff. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that Holy Spirit living through us ought to be a love. Listen to me, teenager, everyone in the youth group. It ought to be a love and encouragement that every family in this church ought to love, getting out of the car, heading up in the gym, going up there and hearing the Word of God. Why? Because you're a love to each other. This makes sense tonight. Would you say amen? My goodness, when you and I begin to realize salt, yes, it's amazing. But when you and I begin to realize the power that light has, it will open up a world of opportunities that you and I never knew we had. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around this evening. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around tonight. Wow, that darkness, dullness, unresponsiveness, that cheerlessness. It's amazing when we let the light shine through you and I, what it can accomplish. Christian, here's what God said. He said, ye are the light of the world. Do you and I comprehend that? Do you and I understand the power that is in you? Your life and in my life, that light, is it dim tonight? Are we letting it shine during this Christmas season?